We're seeing our, say our Calvary 40 acres tree of the week. Number five, we're looking at here. Number five, let's say that out loud together. Ready? We believe the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins and was raised from the dead to offer us new life, and that all who believe in him are declared righteous for all eternity and given life. Thank you, may be seated. I think we can be honest with each other today. We're in church, probably a good idea to be honest with each other. None of us like following rules. None of us like being told what to do. None of us like toeing the line. And some of you say, oh, yeah, I like to follow rules. No, I'm a rule keeper, and I still don't like my people. I try to find loopholes, you know. Most of them would say, can I just be my own person and do what I want? And I would say, sure, go ahead. I won't stop you. Do whatever you want. Unless you begin to harm someone else. That's fair, isn't it? You make a fair statement. Do what you want unless you begin to harm someone else. You can do all that you want as long as it does not harm someone or something else that's not yours. That's fair, right? If we think about that thought, how much do we do in our day that harms others? Even if what we're doing we think is harmless, but then someone sees us doing it and they do it themselves and they get harmed, do we just cause them to harm themselves? But you start processing and thinking about all the things that we do and don't do. My dad, he passed away, so if you watch this, you won't get mad at me. He used to get out of the car while the car was running and put gas in the car while smoking a cigarette. Now, a little bit later, he stopped smoking a cigarette, but he kept the engine running. And I said, everywhere you see that, there's signs everywhere that say, turn off your car before you put gas in. He'd say, oh, that's only if for only. And I was like, to my dad, I was like, you know, he'd love to kind of cut corners a bit. Well, so I can think about, like, what if I started doing that? And I would be the one that get blown up. It would be my dad's fault. So things that we think are harmless, things we've always done, someone mimics us or copies us, and they get harmed, are we now, basically harmed with it? The ramifications of that thought and the ripple effect of our actions are staggering if you really think about it. I'm not even talking about the spiritual stuff yet. Paul even said the same thing in his letter to the church of Corinth. In fact, he said it, and it was such a big deal to him, he said it twice to the church of Corinth in two different chapters of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, all things are lawful to me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of anything. And then he said it again in 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Now, I like King James that says all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. You know, I was thinking like expedient thing. Not necessarily wise to do it, right? It's not helpful, it's not wise, it's not, it doesn't edify. We can technically do anything we want as a believer in Christ, and God will still take us to heaven. We know that. Right? We know that based on Scripture and what God has told us. But is it wise? Is it beneficial? Is it useful? And does that thing that we do have a hold on us so much that it begins to harm us, or we begin to harm others around us. We begin to harm other people's property. So isn't this all a matter of perspective, maybe? I've said this before. I can do anything I want, but my want to do's have changed. When I became a Christian, began following Christ, and especially began living in the Christ-like focus of his new covenant, I began to really look at what my want-to-dos are. I want to go on a cruise. I want to go on a cruise right now. I don't care if Corona, I don't care. I'd be locked in my room looking out the window at the ocean. I don't care. I want to go on a cruise. I want to do certain things, but my want to do's have changed when I was a little kid or when I was a young adult. You know, what I want to do was go out Friday night, get drunk, and find a new lady. You know, that's the want to do's. I don't want that anymore. So, I can't do whatever I want. My want to do is just change. Yes, if we are a believer in Christ as our Savior this evening, to God we're already righteous and going to heaven. We know that. But what does the world see us as? Does the world see us as a Christian? Or does the world even know what that means? So often people will say, well, I thought you were a Christian. We have Christians still mess up. You know, but in their mind, they think all Christians act a certain way, and so they put you on this little pedestal and this little whatever. And so if you don't meet their expectations, they don't think you're a Christian. Does what we do, because we have grace, make us look like a Christian in the lost world? I mean, honestly, we can tell people all day long that we're Christians, but if they don't believe it because of the things we do to them, we're not. That's where James convinces us faith without works is dead. He wasn't saying you got to do works to get faith. He's saying your faith and what you believe, if we've got some evidence of it, no one even knows that you're a Christian. And of course you can say, well, it doesn't matter what others think about me. I'm a Christian. And it only matters what God says about me. And I would agree with you 100%. When it comes to your eternal soul. But what about their eternal soul? A little bit ago, I said most of us would like to say, I can be my own person, do whatever I want. And I would say, sure, go ahead. I won't stop you unless you begin to harm someone else or someone else's property. So what if what we're doing is okay because it only matters what God thinks about me and it brings eternal harm on someone else? Is it helpful? Does it edify? This is where the rubber meets the road kind of stuff in Christianity, right? The real, practical, Christ-like, grace-filled, new covenant, living in Christ stuff. This is what where we start thinking about, like, how does it practically look like in our life? So it goes back to your perspective. What's your end game? Why do you do what you do? If you're doing things to make God happy and please Him so you can get to heaven, you're doing it for the wrong reason. Do you do it just because? Do it because you can? Because it feels good? Do you do it because you've always done it that way? Do you do it because you are uneducated on how to do it any other way? Or do you do it because you are kingdom God focused? So practically, what does a Christian look like? I know everyone here knows it doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside. It matters what's on the inside. And this is part of the problem of teaching about grace and covenant. People go, oh, I can do whatever I want then. And Paul responded in the book of Romans, to the church of Romans, and he said, God forbid, of course not. That's not what grace means. Oh, I thought, man, I just do whatever I want, just, you know, have a party life, you know, whatever. God forbid, no, right? And so, but people hear it sometimes like, good, I can do whatever I want, yay! And then it's brought just crazy. What does that do to the non-believers? How does that affect them? And I would take someone who just thinks they can do whatever they want to, and like, it just doesn't matter. My life doesn't matter. I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, because I'm under grace. And if I can show them 100 years later and say, okay, the person that watched you do that is now in hell. That might be fair. I guarantee you that they go, I feel horrible. Right? You're never going to look back at that time and go, I don't remember I'm doing that. Okay? So when we look at this, what does it really mean? What does it really look like? We could always say this, what is on the inside begins to come out to the outside. What you're focused on, what you're thinking about, what your end game is about, begins to affect your outward actions. So I would say that someone who is just living their life any way they want to, I would say their inward focus is on themselves. So as a believer in Christ, and he tells us, grace teaches us to walk godly. Why? Because we focus on grace. We focus on the goodness of God. We focus on what he has done for us. And we begin to understand who God is in our life. We begin to go, wow. And when we're focusing on that, outwardly, it's going to come out in our life. Christ's life. The character of Christ will come out in our life. I saw this quote once. We must alter our lives in order to alter our hearts. And I thought, they have that backwards. We must alter our heart in order to alter our lives. And then I thought, nope, compared to God's word, they're both wrong. Because God says, you must alter your minds, and that will alter your lives. See, your heart is what God put a new heart in you, right? The new creature. He put that new soul in you. And he's given you a new heart, that's what he says. The old one was old, and I gave you a new heart. Your new heart knows the truth. Your new heart knows what you're supposed to be doing. But your mind doesn't like what your heart is telling it. Right? It's your mind fighting with your soul of saying, well, I always did it this way. I can do it myself. I'm my own man. I can do whatever I want. Right? Your heart's going, ah. And that's when you get that inner struggle and you start feeling bad about stuff, and your heart and your soul is like fighting your flesh. You're like, stop, you know? So when someone actively, outwardly acts like a selfish person and does things selfishly as a Christian, I have to say, well, that's what's going on the inside. They're just thinking selfishly on the inside. So when God says practically what does a Christian look like, look what he says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 17. Look, Paul said in the church of Galatians, he said, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Now, some would say this is talking about when Paul got beaten, whipped, and whatever, and then he did it for Christ, so these are the marks that he bears. And actually, if you look at context, it's actually talking about circumcision. So when you start understanding what he's talking about, he's saying, it doesn't matter whether I'm talking about circumcision or whether I'm talking about whips from Jesus, none of those really matter. Right? It's not what those marks are, is what he's saying. It's that Jesus matters. And in that context, he's understanding. But what about the context of what we're talking about? Do our lives show the marks of Jesus? Do we have any distinguishing marks that allow others to know that you're a Christian? Do you have the marks of Christ? I heard this statement years ago. If you were sent to prison for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Right? Now, it's very thought-provoking, and we know, obviously, that the eternal judgment is in heaven, right? And that's already been dealt with Jesus, so we understand that. But I'm just talking about in a metaphorical sense, right? To the world, they don't even understand what that means, the eternal judgment. To the world, all they see is your life doesn't look like Jesus at all. Well, really, if I go to church on Sunday morning for 45 minutes, they should know that. I checked in at Calvary Baptist Church, so obviously they know on my social media that I go to church. They must know I'm a Christian, really. That's what makes you a Christian, right? You could say, hey, I checked in at my garage, I'm not a car, right? So, that's what your actions do, your attitude, your speech, and anything about you, would the world know that you're a Christian. You have the marks of Jesus. So instead of marks of Christian, let's look at the word earmarks. Earmarks. Earmark is some kind of identifying mark or characteristic. An earmark can apply to a place, a business, or a person. Think about the earmark of McDonald's. Big M. Right? That's the earmark of McDonald's. Well, no, right? Dairy Queen. The little ice cream thing, right? Las Vegas, lights and shirts. New York City, right? I mean, you can think of like certain things and just like see pictures of it going, that's what it is, right? How about for people, right? What's the earmarks of President Trump? Redhead, right? The hair. I mean, you put that kind of hair on a potato and you're like, oh, that's all. Judge Judy, one of my other favorites. I say Noah, what do you think of? The ark, right? That's kind of the earmark of that person. Every living person has some kind of distinguishing mark about their lives, the way they live, the things they do, and those things that they do and don't do in their life. They show outwardly to the others around them, to the world. And they earmark Christ outwardly to the world if Christ is allowed to be shown. So one earmark I think that we can all agree to that we should be thinking about is our faith. Romans 1:8 says this, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all." He's talking to the church in Rome. "Because your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." Wow. That's pretty cool, huh? The whole world is talking about the church of Rome and their faith. Something's happened in the church of Rome. And all those Roman Christians that their people are going, "Oh, what's going on with them all them Christians?" Their faith is on, right? So what about your faith? Are you known in your community for your faith? Now I'm not talking about for your knowledge of the Bible. I'm not talking about for your clean living. I'm talking about, do they know you by your faith? Are you known, or do you have an earmark of someone who lives by faith? For many of us, during the times when we are faced with difficulty in life, our faith seems to go out the window sometimes. "Oh, what about this?" And we all freak out, all get upset, worried, whatever. And your neighbors are going, "Aren't they a Christian? Don't they have faith in Jesus? What happened to Jesus?" And you're on Facebook, right? You know, not you, but, you know, other people. Right? Difficulties in life will generally do one or two things to us. They'll either make us better or make us bitter. That's pretty much true. Make us use our faith or lose our faith. One time, two girls were counting their pennies, and both of them had 5 cents. And one was counting, and one was giving her five. She said, "I have 5 pennies." And the other girl looked down at her, "One to give her five. I have 10. And the little first little girl looked at her stack, and she goes, "No, you don't. You only have 5, just like me." And she says, "No. Dad said when he gets home, he's going to give me 5 more. So I have 10. Her faith said she already had it. And that's kind of like what it is with our Christian walk. What we are looking for in the future, like, "Oh, we don't have it, so let's don't count it." A lot of that is what we already have now. Our faith is already, we're already citizens of heaven. We're already sitting in front of the throne of God. Right? Those are things that our faith is showing us. And if we have faith in those things, why do the small things bother us like they do? Because we really don't have faith. We're not letting our faith walk. Proverbs tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. Faith means that we believe in Christ and trust Him to direct our lives and care for us. Faith means that we will walk to Him every day, as though, we will talk with Him every day, as though He's our best friend and our Father, because He is, and He's right there with us. Faith means that we can talk to Him about anything, knowing that He loves us more than anyone else loves, and He'll understand everything we're talking to Him about. You ever, like, not want to talk to God about something because you're afraid about what He would say? I remember, like, thinking that way in high school when I was using it wrong. I wouldn't want to talk to my mom and dad, and I would kind of try to avoid them. I would get up early and try to leave, or I'd get up, you know, come in late, try to avoid them after they're in bed, you know. And I knew as soon as we talked, we were getting in trouble. You ever do that to God? Like, "Oh, I'm just so tired. I don't want to talk to God tonight. Good night." I don't think it works that way. God's like, "I already know. It's not like you're hiding from me, right?" Paul wrote to Timothy and said that he knew who he believed, and he was persuaded that Christ was able to keep all that he committed unto him. Faith says, "I know who I believe, so who do you believe?" I think about the faith that some people have today. They believe in the good luck of a horseshoe, right? Or a rabbit's foot, or a pot of gold, or the lottery, right? They may not be really sure, but they hope that it will work. But Paul said, "I know who I believe in." Paul trusted Christ to guard him, to protect him, to care for him, to provide for him. Paul said to the church of Corinth that we walk by faith, not by sight, because we are confident that when we are absent from this body will be present with Christ. You really live by faith? Are you confident in your eternal salvation? Do you, people see that in your life? There should be a confidence of hope that just oozes out of us because of our faith in Jesus. Another earmark that we would have is Jesus gave us the Great Commission in Matthew 28, the earmark of evangelism. He told us to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Evangelism is sharing the gospel of Christ to others, so they may know how to be a believer in Christ. I read this quote once, and I liked it. It says, being public about your faith simply means not hiding the wellspring of your life, not hiding who you truly are. If you believe, you have faith that you're a believer. You have faith that Christ gave you a new creature, and you're a new person. You have faith that you're holy and righteous. You have faith that you're going to heaven. All those faith things are going on. Then that should just come out of you naturally, and others should see it. And you, by giving opportunities for it to come out, others to see it, that's evangelism. Sharing his gospel with your words, your actions, your attitude, sharing to the world what is already inside of you. You know, we have a society now, and some of you are on Facebook, some of you are not. Some of you know what's going on out there in the crazy social media world, some of you don't. If you don't tonight, it's okay. You're not going to miss anything, it's just ugly, it really is. I wish I didn't have any on it, but I am. And I try to make it positive, I try not to get political, I try not to post anything that's negative out there, because there's so much out there. But what we notice is, If I'm standing in front of someone, let's say Dan and I are standing in front of each other, and we have a beef, and he has a beef with me, I've done something, right? In the old days, it would be like, oh yeah? Oh yeah? Okay, well, there. And we walk away. Yeah. But now, on Facebook, it's like, Dan is the worst, blah, 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 beep, 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 he and his wife, beep, 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 his kids, beep, 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 you know? And like, you wouldn't say that in front of him, because he'd probably kick your backside. Yeah, but on social media, he can't do anything other than say something back to me. And all I have to do is say something back to me. You know, it's like, what is this world gotten to? It's like, we're so open to that. Well, now we have video on camera, and everybody videotapes them, and they edit whatever they want to edit. There's a video the other day that we keep seeing it repeated over and over again. All you see is a police officer coming up and just hit another woman square in the face, and she literally goes out and falls down and hits her head on the concrete. And that's the video out there, right? And it's just horrible. It's a police officer hit a woman, blah, 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 blah. And then you see the full clip. The full clip is that police, that woman was railing on another police officer who was another female, just beating her on the face, just like it's pummeling her. And a police officer comes up behind her and hits her in the face, she goes down. So you didn't see the whole video, you only saw part of it, okay? Well, it's kind of like social media. It's just, you just see the kind of partial truth. When people show you about their life, they've done this study of people show their life, like, oh, look at my perfect life, click, click, you know, here's my food, click, click, here's what I'm doing, click, click, look at my kids, they're perfect, click, click. What they don't show you is the chaos that went on around them before they got that nice little quiet click, you know. And so we've had this society where we've been able to share things so openly that it's scary. But evangelism, it seems like, didn't go that way. Here we have this perfect venue of social media that should be an easy, easy opportunity for people just to share Christ by positive statements and positive things out there and posting wonderful things about Jesus and the songs and things like that, you know, and true stuff. We don't post the lie stuff. If you send this to 12 people, St. Mary will give you nothing. No. Right? Sometimes our good biblical stuff, you know, and share Christ with people. We have this venue to share the gospel with people. And I don't see Christians using that. I see Christians, more Christians using social media to tear down this other party that I don't like and to build up their candidate than I do to see them talking about Jesus. And it's sad. I don't know why I went off on that. It was really good. nothing needed to say that, right? So Peter says this. He says, look, you're out there, people talking to you, you show evangelism, and you're sharing Christ with your life and whatever. And people say, well, I see the hope that you have in your life. I see the joy you have in your life. When bad things come, I just see just a smile on your face. And that just resonates with me. What is going on in your life? Why is it like that? Right? Peter says, always be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you about the hope that you have. And so be ready to answer. Again, you don't have to have some memorized evangelistic plan. But hey, you have the, you know, Calvary Port Acres Creed in your wallet or purse or pocket. So you can pull it out and go, here's what I believe, you know. If nothing else, or just share them what God has done in your life, if nothing else. Be ready. Evangelism is more than just passing a gospel tract. It's your life, it's your conversation, showing Christ is all that you do, say, and act. And I'm not talking about spreading the word about, hey, look, come to our church is great. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about us thinking, talking to others about Christ, acting like what we are on the inside, outwardly to others, so they see the earmarks of Christianity. The fire of evangelism needs to be real in life by talking about it, by doing it, by living it, by making it our goal, by living it and breathing it. I say this all the time, and I try to practice this as much as I can. Anytime you have an opportunity, of course, with the whole COVID-19, it makes it difficult, but anytime you have an opportunity to talk to someone face-to-face and give them a smile, it's so even, like, do a mask, like, my twinkling eyes, right? A nice nod, or a thumbs up, or thank you, or something, you know? Let them know you're being kind to them. Anytime you get an opportunity to do that, instead of paying for your gas out there, go inside. Instead of going to the drive-thru, go inside. You just have more opportunities that God will give you. Usually if you go inside, you have other customers you can talk to. How are you doing? How's your day? You know? And my wife and I talk about this. It seems like lately, the people we talk to and been around, are nicer to us than they were before. It's like everybody's just trying to just be nicer out there, you know? You're at the restaurant, the waitress and they go, I'm sorry, that's so good. Man, you're getting a big tip no matter what. You're doing fine, you know. Thank you, you know. I mean, why not? Why not be nice to people around you? Because we're all in this world together. Let's be nice. And then they go, something different about that person. And then you go, I know, it's Jesus. Jesus loved it. I just saw a wonderful thing yesterday about a lady from around here who's a bone miner. She was headed to Houston for some test she had to make. And she had a flat tire. So she called AAA. AAA says, oh, 3 hours later, we don't change tires in the interstate, so you don't have to get a tow. We'll start a ticket for you for towing. It'll be another 3 hours, right? And so she's on the interstate. It's like 5 o'clock at night. And she's scared and she's worried and crying. Whatever. And some man pulled up behind her and says, ma'am, stay in your car. I'll fix your flat by here on the interstate. Fix it. You know, since you told him all right, usually, but oh, I wouldn't go to Houston with that. He said, my wife works for a dealership right around the corner here. They're about to close. Let me call them. Follow me there. And so she followed him to the dealership. And they're after hours. They put on a new tire for her. And they give her some food and some water because she can sit in the hot sun for a long time. And she's putting this on there about this dealership. And it's great. And then she's trying to get them cash for thanking them, you know, for, you know, staying up late or whatever. You know, go buy yourself a dinner. It's like, I think she was having surgery. She said, here, buy something for your husband. Thank you so much. And they're like, no, we don't want it. And she forced it on them. Well, then they ran out and got her car ready. And then the cup holder, they pulled a note, the money rolled up, whatever. And so she drove away. And she noticed, picked it up. And the note said, you keep this money. You need it. We did this because Jesus loved you. I thought, Jesus has blessed us so much. We don't need it. You know, hopefully we'll be blessed from you. That's why we're here. Wow, a place of business and people were talking about Jesus, right? And I was thinking, that's the way to kind of share the earmarks of our evangelism. I don't know if that was the woman of the Christian or not, but I guarantee you, she goes, well, if it's being a Christian is like those people, that's what I want. Right? Wouldn't you rather someone say, I'd rather be like that person of a Christian than someone who's mean and awful and always hateful and always talking bad things and always, you know, angry all the time, right? Even if you're trying, you know those people that are like, tell a talk about Jesus, but they do it in such a positive, negative way, they're not really sure where they're going to go. Jesus loves you. You know you're going to hell, right? Right? Don't be that person, right? And you said, well, they need to know. I was like, well, yeah, but they need to know that Jesus loves them first, because Jesus said, hey, I will draw all men unto myself. And when I do, they will see me high and lifted up. Right? Let him do that drawing. It always comes out, if you have that opportunity to share people, start with love. I guarantee it helps it out. But if you believe in something so strongly, you can't stop talking about it, can you? If you're so excited about Jesus, your faith is so excited to bubble out, you can't stop talking about it. If you believe in something so strong enough, it will show out in your life. So people should see your faith. People should see you sharing to the world all that is in you, the life of Christ. If people do not know your life, your conduct, and your speech, and they don't know that you're a Christian because of that, they don't know that those things are your person of faith, then is it possible that something is lacking in your faith? Like, if Christ isn't being shown out of your life naturally because you're excited of what he's doing in your life, if that's not naturally flowing out, would you then consider possibly that there's something lacking inside you, that you're not doing something right? It's not them, it's you. Right? What are the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, right? So those are the things that should flow out of you. Not anger, meanness, bitterness, right? Unforgiveness, right? Those should be showing out of you if everything is going right inside of you. So it's not showing out of you, something's wrong inside of you. That's just, you know, a direct correlation, not judging, I'm just saying, that's what happens. One of the earmarks of a Christian is that we show Christ out to all those around us all the time. And I know people that I know there's probably people in here, but I know how people tell me in the past, you know, I'm just a quiet introvert person. That's perfectly okay. My daughter's an introvert person, there's people that are introvert people like that. And introvert people, if you're introvert, you know that by ignoring someone because you don't want to talk to them, you come across as you're rude. Now, that doesn't mean you are, that just means you come across that way, you know? So sometimes an introvert person has to go, okay, I don't like talking to people, but Jesus does. And I'm going to let Jesus kind of live out of this a little bit. Just a smile, a wave, a nod, something that Jesus can show. It's no different than someone who's a mean, angry person. Well, that's just the way they are. You kind of let Jesus shine out of that a little bit, you know? We all have to come to that place where we have to say, is it more about me and my issues, or is it more about Jesus? And it's what I'm doing causing harm to someone else. That's what we come to. Whether we want to be or not, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for living for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ living in and through us. If the earmark or the character trait of faith and evangelism is not evident and clear in our lives, how do others see Christ? How do they know that you're a believer in Christ? It's what you're doing bringing harm to those around you, eternally speaking. And does that matter to you? What does a Christian look like? It looks like Christ. So it looks like. Now, I'm not saying a person following a bunch of rules and acting religious. Spirit and the attitude of Christ. What does a Christian look like? It looks like Christ. And it flows out of you with your faith and wanting to evangelize and share this faith to the world around you. Let me pray with you tonight, church.